ESPN WTLX Monona Madison.
Sports Center updates on 100.5 ESPN are brought to you by Metro Kia of Madison. Metro Kia of Madison, Madison's trusted Kia dealer. Stop into Metro Kia on the east side of Madison or visit MetroKiaOfMadison.com.
Tausch. Begin now. And it begins with my question for you, old boy. I said no, Jordan Love is not injury prone. He's had a bit of a turn of bad luck here.
Okay, can you define, since you are Mr. Thesaurus, what does the word prone...
You're Mr. Thesaurus.
What does the word prone mean? Like, define this for me so I can be... incredibly accurate with my assessment.
Prone is defined as having a tendency or inclination, being likely. So you have a tendency to get injured.
Okay.
It is likely that you will get injured. You have an inclination to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
He started all 19 games, including playoffs, last year.
Yep.
If you remember Aaron Rodgers, some people thought after he broke his foot in 06, played an entire half on it.
Warrior.
He tore his hamstring in 07.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the 08 season as the starter, and some suggested he was injury prone.
Yep.
And he played through a dislocated throwing shoulder. And it turned out that unless you were breaking his collarbone... he played through just about everything. Torn calf, broken thumb.
Tough as nails, no doubt about it.
Fracture at the top of his tibial plateau.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry. Yes, he pulled his groin or mildly strained it or whatever we're going with as the diagnosis this week. And he missed two games with an MCL.
Yep.
I don't think he's injury prone. I feel like that's a little reactionary.
All right, well, so what would you say he is then? He's missed two games. He's missed a chunk of last game. There's potentially misses this week. And we've played eight games. So
yeah, he's been a bit unlucky this season.
So what's the difference between unlucky and injury prone? Like, they're the same thing.
I would say a guy who constantly has soft tissue injuries that leave you wondering if they might be preventable with better self-care would be injury prone. Like, if you tear your... were you injury prone because you tore your ACL twice?
I can't sit here and tell you that I wasn't injury prone. I missed games because I was injured. And was that by a fault of my own that I got my knee blown out twice? No, that doesn't make me, in my mind... like I'm some walking in, but I missed a lot of games. It's a results business. So if somebody's like, oh, Tausch, you had a lot of injuries, you were injury prone. Yeah, there were seasons I was. Then there was a stretch in the middle part of my career I didn't miss anything.
Correct.
So can you be both? The answer is yes. And is it bad luck? Certainly. But the bottom line is if you're missing games because you're injured, you're injury prone. That is the reality of the situation. And for Jordan, it's not some super negative thing. Nobody doesn't think he's tough. I do. I mean, he battled back from an injury that was supposed to be 4 to 8 weeks. He was back in three. That's kudos to him.
But so you started six. You had five NFL seasons in which you... I'm sorry, six of your 11 NFL seasons in which you did not miss a game. All
okay.
16 games. I don't think you can have six in a league where the injury rate is 100%, right? We've
yep.
said that all the time. And you play through a lot. Everyone does. I don't think you can have six seasons where you don't miss a game and be termed injury prone.
But nobody said Jordan Love as a player is injury prone. I'm saying this season, has he been injury prone? The answer is yes. Just like you could say, was I injury prone in year one, two, six, seven, eight, nine. No, but
yeah,
if you
three.
Want to say year three,
yeah
I blew my knee out. Yep, I ripped my groin off the bone in, I don't know, year eight or whatever it is. I can't sit here and say, well, you can't call me injury prone. It's not. I think people view that as, well, you're soft. If that's how you want to view it, blank off.
I do think that's how people
see it. But yeah, go ahead.
And the person that I was arguing with, I think, sees it that way.
That's fine. You can feel however you want. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I can also tell you to blank off.
And yes, you can.
In this case,
and you have.
When you look at it, it is the beauty of being an NFL player and the way you can analyze it. There isn't a ton of variation to thought. You're either playing a bunch or you're not. And when you're missing games because you're injured, that season you could say, well, he's injury prone. That doesn't mean he's soft and that he's not tough, or that isn't it at all. But if you're missing games because of injury, you defined it as having a tendency to get injured. That's happened twice in eight games. That's not a knock on Jordan. It's the reality of the situation this season has fallen.
Well, it's not a knock on Jordan in your mind. I think when people call someone injury prone, there is an undeniable negative connotation. It's not a, well, he's just been unlucky. It's that he is injury prone.
But it's both.
So if you acknowledge that when we use that phrase, it has an undeniable negative connotation.
Yep.
And you acknowledge that, then would you call Jordan Love an injury-prone player based on the connotation that you know that phrase brings?
I would say no. I would say in the 2024-2025 season, he has been injury-prone. No, it's the reality.
It's a yes or no question.
I just answered it. 2024, you said the season.
No,
as
I didn't.
A player,
I said, would you say, is he injury prone?
This season, yes. That's my answer. And does it come with negative connotation? Yeah, you know what? Missing games comes with negative connotation. Doesn't mean it's fair or right, but that's not the world we live in. So if he misses this week, he was supposed to miss 4 to 8 weeks. He didn't. I look at it from the complete flip side of it, but if people want to say that, Jason, he's missed games and he's missed time because he's injured. That doesn't make it bad. It is what it is. And the fact that he's competed to get back out as quick as he has, and that hopefully this, I would actually argue, he is very lucky that he's only injury prone this year. He could be unlucky and have blown his knee out in Brazil and missed the whole blanking season.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes how you look at it, and I'm looking at it from a perspective of, hey, he's tough. He's fought his way to get back out there. He's doing everything he can to get out there. But, yeah, he's had some injuries. Football is injured. You're right. It's 100% injured. Sometimes you guys get lucky and they don't have to miss games. Sometimes guys are able to overcome it. But if you can't play, you can't play. And, unfortunately, he missed two games. And, by the way, I think he was pushing pretty hard to get in that second game. This week he's pushing hard to get into this one. But that doesn't mean he's had injuries. That means you're injury prone. I don't know what else to tell you.
Jesse, do you think Aaron, do you think Jordan Love is injury prone?
No, I do not think Jordan Love is injury prone. I think he suffered one injury at the start of the season. It seems like that he's been difficult to overcome coming back from that, even though it's an unrelated thing. But
maybe it is related.
I don't think he's injury prone yet. I think you have to go multiple seasons before you say someone's injury prone.
This season, has he been injury prone?
You're doing what I do. You're totally hedging.
Because, there's no hedging.
Because he has now missed at least a half in multiple different situations, yes, he is injury prone this
season.
That's
it, yeah.
But for his career, would I characterize him the same way that I would characterize Tua or I don't know, Kyler Murray has been injury prone. Like
Kyler Murray blew his knee out, and that's I think the extent of the time he's missed.
I'm struggling to come up with another example of someone who's been injury prone off the top of my head. But Tua is the one that stands out. Like Tua is injury prone. Lamar Jackson is injury prone because of the style that he plays, and he's been hurt multiple times.
All right.
Anthony Richardson, although
he's just tired.
Stock is down. Yeah, he's just a little sleepy. He injury prone last season. He missed almost the entire season. Like. Yeah. Oh, so Jordan Love, not injury prone yet. If we get to next season and he's missing more games because of injuries, and you have to, like, backup quarterback becomes a significant factor on the Packers roster beyond just one season, yeah, then you can start to say someone's
injury prone. I totally understand why Jordan Love doesn't want – I didn't want to be labeled injury prone. But the reality of the seasons where I was. And the same thing you could say about almost every NFL player for a season. But if you're playing and getting a ton of work and you're not missing games, you're not. That's rare. So I don't know why you feel, Jason, that I know why, because you want, you like Jordan. I like Jordan. I like what he does. This isn't some, because other people view this as a negative connotation, you have to base yourself in reality and what's actually happening. And what has happened is he's had two injuries now that have forced him to miss significant time in his season. Doesn't mean he's had a bad season. It doesn't mean it's a lost season. It means he's had to fight through a lot of stuff, and it's been a unlucky, injury-prone season for him.
I feel it. Has Deshaun Watson, in addition to his off-the-field indiscretions, he has had a season-ending shoulder injury. He's had a torn Achilles. And didn't he miss a year with an ACL, too?
I don't know. I haven't paid as much attention.
Yeah, I
would say you could say that's injury-prone.
Injury-prone.
Yeah, you know? Certainly.
That's what I'm saying. All right. He has a lot of time on his hands. Maybe he's interested in swinging by Fortrea and doing some of their studies, but he made a lot of money from the Browns.
Yeah, I'm not interested in asking. I don't want no. Jesse, if you get, everybody's looking for a trip, you want to go up north with Joe, you want to go hit the Driftless region, whatever it might be, and you're looking for a little extra cash through this holiday season, Fortrea's got you covered, and man, they got all kinds of different studies. I think I'm going to hit my favorite today. Women currently breastfeeding, ages 18 to 45, BMI of 18 to 35. Study, one stay, 5 nights, 5 follow-ups, and a phoner. Compensation, $10,125. And if you refer a friend, it's another $500. Another study, if you're not breastfeeding, healthy adults ages 18 to 60, BMI of 18 to 32. Studies, one stay, 14 nights, 11 follow-ups, $13,006 for your time and participation. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Uncle Homer scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Music means time to talk to the host of the Homer Hour, 5 to 6 every weekday on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, the voice of Marquette men's basketball and the Marquette Radio Network, and of course the co-host of God Talk, My Faith, with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning, how are you?
I'm good. Spent some time in Tennessee, haven't been there, and so it was in the miniature golf capital of the world.
Yeah, a lot of good mini golf courses golf. Down there.
No, I've never seen as many. This is
that's great.
Right near Knoxville.
Gatlinburg. You're probably in Gatlinburg, Sevierville. That's probably where you were.
No, we didn't know Gatlinburg. No, we go to where Dollywood is. Dolly Parton's place. Was it Pelican Forge or? I forget
it's pigeons,
it.
Right next to Pigeons Forge.
Pigeon Forge.
Come on.
Yeah. Pigeon Forge, yes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. And literally, I think there are 15 different miniature golf courses, and they're all special. That's supposed to be the best ever. One's got all dinosaurs. I don't have any idea what the best
is. Is there anyone that's not happy when they're...
Wisconsin Dells times three.
Yeah, is there anyone that's not happy when they're mini-golfing? You usually got ice cream, and you're with your family.
My wife, Becca.
She doesn't like mini-golf?
She does not like mini-golf, no.
It's the best.
No. Well, then you need to take her there, and if she can't find a miniature golf that she likes there, then you can declare that she doesn't like it.
What doesn't she like about mini-golf?
I don't know.
It's not hard. It's like a nice walk. You get to hang out. You're talking. There's different fun activities. There's kids screaming. It's great.
kids screaming, I don't know if needed to be part of that, but the rest of it,
usually
yeah.
a part of it. So you didn't mini golf at all?
You can't be competitive. That's the hard part for Tigers. It's just total chaos. And,
yeah.
You know, and I love the old ones. I don't know where they are. Where, like, you putt. If you putt poorly, the ball just flies all over the place.
Yeah, it's got to like be. There got to be some hazards. Definitely hazards.
Correct. And it could end up three holes over.
Yeah, you're in a water fountain. You got to go dig out the ball or you're done. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with Homer. I'll join
that
club.
So you didn't play or you did play?
I did not play. No. No.
Well, Homer's old. He's old and curmudgeon-y. He doesn't like having fun.
We went to the mountains, Smoky Mountains. We walked up the toughest walk I've taken in 10 years and made it to the very top of the mountain, and the stuff is the mountains there are spectacular.
They're smoky.
It's unbelievable.
Very smoky. We saw a lot of bears when we were out there. And I'm not talking like Chicago Bears. I'm talking bears.
Right. So were you in Pigeon Forge too? In
we went the whole deal. Yeah, we did the whole deal. That's a while ago though.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. That's a great little spot. Hot.
We did not see any bears. We went to the place where everybody told us to go. Some coven or whatever. And we go there and a car it's a circle about 8 miles. Well, when one car goes bad at the front of the circle, the loop, guess what happened?
Stuck.
45 minutes stuck. And people from Tennessee are great. After a while, they just start getting out of the cars and going ahead. They weren't just gonna wait until they're just gonna go figure out what it is. And the car, I don't know what it was. We didn't move for 45 minutes. We didn't see a single animal.
That doesn't
sound. Other than horses, which to me don't count.
Yeah, horses don't
count. I saw a horse. No,
I would agree.
That doesn't count.
Yep.
So it was a total debacle, but it was fun to watch the people in Tennessee. Like, there's no way no one knows where, because in that national forest, there's no communication with anything.
Yeah, it's like great. You're shut away from everything. Yep.
Yes, you are. So when something bad happens,
that sucks.
Your phone doesn't work. Nobody got. I don't know where they came from. Still don't know what happened. Yep. We took a side road, and but overall, it's a place that people should go, I would say.
Totally agree.
For the mountain part.
Homer, what's your favorite state outside of Wisconsin? Like, if you're saying you're going to power rank states, what's that next state up on your list?
Vermont.
Well, you love maple syrup, or what's your Vermont deal?
No, because I like mountains, but mountains that are just not like the Rocky Mountains, where you can see the mountains and you go up the mountains a little bit and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's where I'm into. Like, that's why the Smoky Mountains are good. Where we were was like 6,000, the highest one. Isn't like Pike Peak is like, you know, the Rocky Mountains just make all the other mountains in this country a joke. Right. I mean, you want to go to mountains, you go to Alaska, right?
Or the Baraboo Range.
Oh, I heard you talking about that.
They're exhumed, though.
You call something whatever you want.
I'm not 100% sure what that exhumed. Homer, Jason and I were just discussing
I was listening to that. I solved this.
Okay, what is it?
The show. By the way, for people who don't listen, Tausch took over the show, and for those that want me eliminated, because I was in Tennessee, he just took over. He introduced
you
himself.
You weren't there.
And he did the
first. You weren't I'm there. Not, what did you want
on,
me to do? The
quiet.
Show must go on.
Now I feel like Jason. Shut up. He was so good that I'm listening, going, they just get rid of me. This is really Tausch. You introduced Tausch. Tausch did his opening statement.
I did have to introduce myself,
fantastic.
Which I didn't.
Was fantastic.
We're sitting there, and it's like, well, Homer hasn't connected. I said, let's start the show. I mean, the game ended. Let's go.
But anyway, we discussed the issue is this. Jordan Love is not injury prone. He hasn't played long enough to determine that. But this
Agreed.
Year he's injury prone.
Yes.
Which is why you can't play him. And here's what's going to happen. All week, they're going to make everybody believe he's playing. Why? Because LaFleur believes the adjustment that the Lions will have to make from him to Willis is so huge.
It is big.
You can't expect them to declare all week. Everybody's going to believe that Jordan Love's going to play. So that Detroit does as much as possible on him and as little as possible on Willis. Whether or not that occurs and whether or not that exists doesn't matter. In LaFleur's mind, this is the perfect example where he's day-to-day. He could play.
Isn't that smart?
And he doesn't play.
Isn't that smart?
And that gives them the best edge they can get.
Isn't that smart by LaFleur?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's smart, but I think the benefit of it is like a quarter of an inch.
No. No, it's at least 6 or 7 percentage points.
Fine. I'll give you 6 or 7 percentage
okay.
points.
Well, you know, this
Willis has played enough. They know what he does. They know his strength.
You got limited practice time. You got limited practice time. You have to, if you can have them devote resources to both quarterbacks, that means there's something that they aren't going to go over. And if it's that one play where you leak Jaden Reed out the backside and bam, you have a monster play, that one play is worth it in gold, is it not?
Could be. The chances of that occurring are slim and none, but the possibility of it will make LaFleur do just what you're saying. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
This is one of your most astute observations on our show.
He's been really good. You know what? I think vacationing and relaxing and mini golfing and hiking mountains has been really good for Stephen.
Fine. Okay. Good. I'm glad you care.
Homer, speaking of Malik Willis, you are a devout Christian man, right?
Yes, I believe that's true.
All right, I want you to hear this clip.
No better than anybody else.
Your caveats.
He is the real deal. About the Christian part of him, this man's the real. You know who he's like?
Mother Teresa.
He's as close. And I haven't followed him. It was close to Reggie White.
No, you can't say that. If you watch the Reggie White documentary, like, he was questioning everything he had believed for his life. Like, it's really... Don't do that one.
That comes with the territory. Like,
hey, did you watch?
A list of all the people. I mean, I know Reggie. I know everything that occurred. I know everything he believed. I know that created some opinions on things that bothered people.
All right. I don't want to debate. I recommend the documentary.
This is like a good Digi Only you two at that after God talk. You and Homer. That's a great idea.
You started it, Jason.
He did.
I'm going to go with Jason on this. Because here's why. Jason did my faith. No one else on your show did it. Because Jason did it, I will defer to him in every time this ever comes up about discussing faith or not.
All right, thank you. This is supposed to be fun.
I agree.
It's not off to that start.
All right, yes.
So,
but anyway.
So I want you to hear, for those that didn't hear Malik Willis after the game, I want you to hear how he downplayed what he has accomplished in the 2.5 games that he has filled in for Jordan Love. Here is Malik Willis talking about the impact he's had on the season.
It doesn't have nothing to do with me. I'm just grateful for the opportunity given to me by God. Jesus did way more than I do, you know, so I just lean on that thought. And this is a game at the end of the day, and I just lean on that fact, and it helps me to get through and not really stress over it. I mean, yes, it's definitely important. It's a high-stress job, but at the same time, the Lord blessed me with this ability. I just got to utilize it and have.
I like Malik Willis, but if he's going to hold himself to the standard of Jesus did a lot more than I did, that's a little bit unrealistic, in my opinion. So my question for you is, if we're going down Jesus' greatest hits in terms of miracles, where do you put 5 loaves and 2 fish? Where do you put healing the lepers?
Close. No, there's nothing even close. He brought Lazarus back from the dead.
That's number one.
It is one of the debates that I have about the Bible. Because, and I'm not the first one to say this, but I'm like, why is there not more discussion of that? Not only the discussion, it should be in every Bible. It's only in one, I think, one gospel. And wouldn't that have had an impact on all his followers? Like when he died, they go, he could come back easily. He's already pulled that one. Let's see if he does it for himself. And there isn't enough follow-up. Lazarus is the most...
Well, I wasn't there to ask the follow-ups. That's really my specialty now. So there's no gospel, according to Jason.
Of the Bible, I have 2 major problems, which I have been told so. Like, do you ever read the Bible? I refuse to believe that Peter denied Christ 3 times. There's no way. Twice, maybe, but 3. Nope, not buying it. And yes, I've been told. You read the Bible? I said, yeah, but... If that sends me to hell, I just don't think God's like that. And I don't understand the lack of attention in the Bible and in all the discussion of the Bible about Lazarus.
This went exactly as I'd hoped. Do you think if Malik Willis starts against the Lions,
I'm really interested in this transition, by the way.
Let me help you on this.
It would take a miracle for them to beat the Lions.
He's got Daniel.
We have a problem with Willis. Here's the problem, and I mentioned it with LaFleur after the game. No one wants to talk about how amazing this is because that admits how much it sucked prior to this year. Nobody thought he was any good. Can't throw a lick. He could run. The dude was nothing. And he played so well that LaFleur and everybody has to go, he can't say this is off the charts. I mean, this is, from a football standpoint, if you ask people privately, this is right up there with Lazarus. I mean, as far as his
Lazarus
skills as a player, he was dead. There was nothing. There was nothing. Nobody was expecting anything. And whatever the Packers saw or whatever, you can't look for this guy. You can't keep saying, this is I can't believe this, when in fact that's the truth.
Homer.
Because that emphasizes that he said how bad he was.
How much of that is Matt LaFleur putting him in this position? Like, is he doing this? Is he doing this if he goes to the Giants? Or
probably
to the
not,
Dolphins?
But those plays that he made, the passes that he's made, those are the ones that stand out, and only LaFleur can answer that. I think LaFleur is as amazed as everyone else. The first pass, when they went to the pass to Watson with the beginning of the game, and then this particular pass, I mean, he's done everything he's asked him to do, and even some things he didn't really ask him to do because he didn't think he could do it. I mean, LaFleur's in a bind. I mean, the way he talks about how amazed he is at Willis is probably a third of the real amazement that he has. And everybody, the guy's been...
He's been remarkable.
120.
He's remarkable.
Usually, when you have a quarterback and he doesn't throw very many passes, you know why that is?
Because they're not very good.
They don't think he can throw. Yes. And especially with LaFleur. And
well, they're still trying to limit. In fairness, they're trying to limit. They're not having him go back and doing the same things.
Yeah, but they've limited him yet. Then when he's had
he's
to
been
do it,
remarkable.
Do, he's been.
But
yes.
I guess my question is, if he's up there, and Minnesota's got a really good head football coach, is he having this success in Minnesota?
Maybe.
Yes, I have to say. You have to say it's possible because
You do, but
no, as I say, no donkey wins the Kentucky Derby. You can't make something
Gus,
that isn't in there.
A kicking donkey. I'd put him up there. He got strong hindquarters.
Like France,
what about
$1,000?
That's where you were going.
The mule in the Kentucky Derby. I don't think I'd have to check back.
It is
the mule was so far ahead of his.
I'll put a bow
anyway,
on this with the Lazarus.
You have to credit him. I mean,
but Homer,
that he's always thought he was this good, and so he's not surprised.
But I'm so here's the deal: 100%, I'm giving him a ton of credit. No doubt.
Okay,
I love that. But nobody was saying that when he was in Tennessee. Nobody was giving him a ton of credit.
Yes,
No, they didn't.
I'm agreeing with you. For him to show this level of talent, which, of course, he's never shown before. Maybe you go back to somewhere in college. Yes, you have to say that it's very much LaFleur until or unless he did it with somebody else. So, yes, the evidence would say that, but some of it is even LaFleur.
Okay.
Even LaFleur can't take credit if he's honest.
Homer, I believe in Jason. Malik's got one more year left on his deal. He'll be the backup here in Green Bay for at least another year, correct?
Mm-hmm. He's got another year left.
Yeah, maybe. Depends.
This is what I'm getting to my point.
If your quarterback is injury prone, yes, you keep him.
If he was an unrestricted free agent after this season and he's done just what he's done, he doesn't play another snap.
Great question.
Yeah. Is he going to be in line to get a starting, not a big boy contract, but a Baker Mayfield light contract with somebody else? Is there a team that has seen what he's done and said, we can win with Malik at $25 million a year? Is anybody going to do that?
No.
I think that tells you what people think. Whether or not right or wrong.
Because that tells you that, just as you stated, it's still iffy because they give so much credit to LaFleur. They might go 20. I mean, quarterbacks are getting so much.
What a weird world we live in. We didn't give LaFleur any credit with Aaron Rodgers, and now we're giving him all the credit with Malik Willis. How the tables have turned.
Homer, I'll talk to you tonight. Thanks.
Bye.
We need to get to Wonelly. I would love to know if you had a coach like Matt LaFleur, say it was Kevin O'Connell, or a team that has this guy, Miami, and Tua continues to have concussion
or
problems.
Or Tennessee.
Right.
Have a quarterback.
Do they look at him and say, okay, if we use him the way LaFleur has used him, we think he can be a good starter for us? I don't know that. I don't think there's probably enough evidence. What there is a lot of evidence of is that Associated Bank is the best bank when it comes to customer service. They've got the awards to prove it. And beyond their great customer service, they've also got all kinds of great perks that come with being an Associated Bank customer, including Packers checking, Badgers checking, and Brewers checking, and of course, early pay, where you get access to your money up to 2 days early with your direct deposit from your employer. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Wonelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We're young, dumb, and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I can see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I
put it a little late. Thanks to Homer. No, thanks to Homer for joining us. Separate thought, we're running a little late. It's time now for Wonelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch, you got a thought on the Minnesota Vikings making a trade to shore up their offensive line yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I thought it was smart. Was it super cost prohibitive? I think they have to give up a 6th, and maybe he'll get down if he plays a bunch. And I think he's a pretty good player. They knew. Minnesota knew. If they want to make a push, it wasn't going to be good enough. And for them, I give them a lot of credit. They're not just going to stand pat and hope. They went and made a move, and kudos to them. I still think,
for a pick swap.
I still think they're going to struggle to get in the playoffs, though. I do.
Wonelly.
Wonelly!
You guys have any thoughts on Anthony Richardson's situation here for those who missed
never,
it?
I've never seen anything like it. A quarterback pulls himself out mid-series because he's tired. The problem with that, wideouts do it, and we all understand, hey, they're running 60-yard sprints. Running backs do it. You know, they just ran a 70-yard run and got tackled at the 5. Never quarterback because I don't remember. I stole this from somebody. I don't remember who, but I'll give them credit. They said quarterbacks at the end of these games will look in the 2-minute drill and look at guys and be like, you guys ready? We need this. We got to have this. And you're looking back like, bro, you just took off you took a series off because you're tired. Can't have it. Just can't. Never. I've never seen it. I don't think we'll ever see it again. And it's not a coincidence. I know Flacco has done some good things, but everybody knows that. And I've heard the O-linemen, I've heard some of the Colts players discuss it. You can't have it. Can't. And if that's the case, you got to get in better shape. It just can't happen. And I know playing quarterback's a hard spot, and he's a young player. He's got talent, but bad look, bad look.
If he had come to you beforehand, what would your advice have been?
Say you pulled a hammy.
Right.
Lie.
A must-lie situation.
You can't say what he did. And he said it so comfortably, it was like, you really think
like
that's
it was
a
not
good,
a big deal.
You really think that's a good idea?
Yeah, it was bad. Not good, Bob.
It reminded me a lot of when Tannehill didn't know what teams were in his league. It's like, man, if you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, you got to be obsessed. And you didn't know the other teams in your division. I honestly, I heard that, and I thought, this guy ain't going to work. And I give him credit. He carved us up for 400 a couple of years ago up at Lampo.
Validation but Thursday.
You have to be obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be great at this sport, and you're going to be great in that, you gotta want to know that stuff. And, you know, I get you want to have balance in your life and everything else. This isn't the job for that. Unfortunately, it's just not. Not in season.
No, not now, great, Bob.
I'll say this. If you're a great – if Penny Sewell is a great concert pianist, I don't care because he's a baller. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying? You can have other interests in life, but you got to be dialed in and ready to roll.
Sure. I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. What I can also agree with is that it's fun to listen to Bucks Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Right now, Behind the Bucks dives deep into Bucks in Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks in Six, how it became a rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
Jason, you are reading your live. Jesse was marching back. And what the hell were you doing?
I had to go mark something on the computer.
No,
so
he's marching like he's in a band by himself. What is he doing?
I'm rhythmic.
Whoa, Nelly.
No comments. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Recap the week so far.
I can too.
On Monday, I asked you what you thought I should ask LaFleur, and you checked out, basically.
No, I just am kind of, I do your job so much, I needed a blow.
I got nothing.
So I had a long weekend, yeah.
And then Tuesday, yesterday, you went to play golf.
I did. Great day.
So would you like
bone
me to ask
marrow
you anything,
butter.
Or should we just did call
I tell
it a show
bone
now?
Bone marrow butter.
What?
Bone marrow butter. Boo! Chef's kiss. Next time you get a steak, try it.
All right, so apparently we're going to end today's show on bone marrow butter.
Yeah.
I kind of preferred you leave it early or just check it out, frankly.
So what are you going to ask LaFleur, Jason?
If he's ever had bone marrow butter.
I know, I already told you what I wanted to ask him, but I don't remember what I asked you to tell him.
Thank you for your service. That's it for us today.
Just tell him he's doing a great job.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.